Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on the Fan in 1 hour at 4 ahead of the Blitz. We'll give away a pair of Caps tickets. Got to be listening to win those. Our show is sponsored exclusively by the law firm Kondori & Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys by visiting kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny is in our Half Street studios in D.C. Your boy's a little under the weather, been chilling at the house, although things are looking up. I think I'm 85% likely to be in studio tomorrow.
My man, as long as you're back by Friday when we're not in studio, we're at Hard Times Cafe in Springfield, hell of a town. We will be there on Friday, as long as you're good for that. So whatever you got to do to get ready for that, you do that.
I think that's going to be a banger, too, by the way. Hard Times in Springfield. We've never done a show there, but we've done a ton of shows from Hard Times at other locations. And I feel like Springfield is a nice home base, not far from, you know, where I've lived for many, many years. But I think we're going to have a lot of listeners come out on Friday. Should be a really good party going into the bye week. The boys are 8-5. Looks like they're playoff bound. Might have a coach of the year, a rookie of the year on the roster here. So no reason not to celebrate the Commanders even without a Sunday game. So come kick it with us. Our Friday field trip in Springfield at Hard Times Cafe. And I know Mr. Huey is probably going to have to get some chili while we're there.
There's going to be some chili. And it's what else is the decision there. So I obviously spent a lot of time at Hard Times, over the years. I broadcast and judged the wing eating contest from back in the day. 106.7 The Fan and Hard Times did that. I've seen more wings consumed in a 10-minute period than you would believe. Shout out to Blue Shorts, who had to count the carcasses of the wings to see if it qualified or not. That was an unbelievable enterprise. But yeah, I've seen some things. Yeah, good old Shorts.
That was Blue's job.
That was his job those evenings. Yeah, he had to wear those like rubber glove kind of things. Those like latex gloves, whatever. And he's sitting there going, "No, this one's. There's too much meat on this bone. Set it aside." And he was counting them up. That was something.
That's a disgusting thing to do, is watch strangers eat wings.
Yeah.
And nobody loves wings more than I do, but it's not an aesthetically pleasing food to eat.
Oh, 100%. I had a rule when I was a single man way back in the day. Well, I mean, this is so long ago. On a date, like the ones of dates that I went on, I would not eat ribs or wings in front of a lady. I was like, there's no way for me to look cool. Like dipping the thing in blue cheese and kind of like turning my head sideways and like, look, I've got so much buffalo on my lips and around my, around my face now. Do you want to go on a second date? Like, no way.
Those are short list items on the, you can't eat these on an early date. Once you're bunned up and you're in a relationship, yeah, and you've been dating the person for a little while.
Let's get some ribs, hon.
You know, that you're going to the bathroom with the door open, you're eating wings in front of them, no problem. But right away, early on, can't do it.
Can't do
what
it.
What else is on that list, by the way? Wings, ribs. Trying to think if there's something else that's super messy. Like, I would say crab picking is kind of disgusting, too. You know, not that that's an early date item, but I guess if you're, you know, starting a date in the summer, you could go to, like, a crab house. But I think it's disgusting when people sit there with the gunk all over their fingers. Like, I am a wipe as I go. You know me. I can't have messy hands.
The way you do it is ridiculous. But that was actually an early date for my wife and I, was because we're both doing it. In other words, if she gets the side salad, I'm over there with wings, slathering on my face. It's ridiculous.
But doesn't she have gunk all over her fingers and stuff? That's disgusting.
It's not. It's picking craps. It's totally normal and reasonable, and you need a couple of napkins and a wet nap at the end, and every human being ever except for you has been fine.
And then the smell is gross on the back end.
Is it?
I mean, and I'm team crab, by the way. It doesn't sound like
I mean, you do sound like it. You sound like an enthusiast over there.
I sound like team dog Danny Ruye over here about how much I love dogs.
I mean, I really do love them. I hate the smell, the texture, the taste, the process, but I love them.
I'm just saying I don't want to be trying to look good while I'm doing it. It's not the kind of activity. And if you're on a date with someone early on, that's not an image I'm looking for. Is like gunky-fingered, gross-fingered crab lady.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
No, it's totally fine. I mean, because we're both doing it. See what I'm saying? Like, if it's when there's an imbalance. When she looks ladylike, and I look like a disgusting sloth monster, you know, with my face covered with
She's not sized.
Yeah, like ribs in my teeth, and I'm going, can I grab a toothpick? Do you have any floss in your purse? Like, you can't do that.
Deontay Johnson just got suspended a game by the Ravens. I'm bringing this up not because he's on my fantasy team. I promise.
You would love for him to be suspended for his malpractice in fantasy.
I mean, what a joke of a season! But it's not his fault. Deontay Johnson was in Carolina and was playing okay. The problem is he was on the Panthers when they were terrible offensively, and as they've ascended, they traded him. The Ravens wanted him. Like, why else would you trade for a guy if you're not planning on, I don't know, using him, throwing him the football, putting him on the field. So I have no idea why he got suspended. They said it was conduct detrimental. I don't know if he no-showed a meeting or he's mad. They're not playing him at all. He's not dressing. He's not getting on the field. Here is his resume as a Raven. Are you ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Since the trade deadline, 4 games, 5 targets, 1 catch, 6 yards, and now a 1-game suspension. And a partridge and a pear tree.
Seems to be going
great. You're talking
about
a quarter of a season. This guy's been there. He's caught 1 ball for 6 yards. Why did they trade for him?
I don't know. I think it's, you know, there's probably some buyer's remorse in there at this point. If they could undo it and unring that bell, they probably would at this stage. I mean, this was a dude that, I promise you, he played well in his career. Like, it doesn't seem like it now. It seems, you know, like beyond an afterthought. But this was a, you know, I don't know, a guy that could, not a true wide receiver one, but could be a helpful football player in PPR formats, certainly in fantasy, but for teams as well, a volume guy who's going to get you 7, 8, 10 a pop, move the chains a little bit, the occasional wiggle, like a productive quality receiver in the NFL. He's not CeeDee Lamb. He's not Ja'Marr Chase. Very few people are. And he now has fallen off the planet, basically. I cannot explain the drop.
Yeah, I have a hard time with team trades for guy and then does nothing with guy. And I would imagine his being a malcontent has something to do with the fact that he's going, why did you bring me here? I mean, it's a terrible situation for him, which doesn't excuse his behavior. It was bad enough to be suspended for a game. But he will miss the upcoming game, which doesn't actually mean anything or matter to the Ravens because he wouldn't have played or been targeted or caught a pass anyway.
He's a guy
that at any given point every week with the Panthers was a threat to catch 6 or 7 balls for 80 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And you just go to Baltimore where we've heard for years they need receiver help, and he just buried and can't get on the field. So make that make sense. I want to go down a level, though, to college football. We wanted to talk about this yesterday. Bunch of Commanders news breaking on the off Tuesday, off day with the bye week, surprisingly. They hire their new team owner. There was news on the stadium front as well, and we covered that wall-to-wall yesterday on G&D. But this Penn State-Maryland controversy over the weekend was really compelling to me. And I know we talked about it. You didn't watch this, Danny, but for people who did, this was really, really interesting drama. So let me just get everyone up to speed on what happened really quickly. Penn State is hosting Maryland this weekend in football. Maryland, by the way, is 4-8, 1-8 in conference. Just a debacle of a season for Mike Locksley and the boys. I mean, really no good excuse for that. You could tell me, hey, we're not going to beat Michigan, Ohio State. We're not going to be a power in the Big Ten. And I go, yeah, no problem. But 4-8, 1-8 is not really going to butter the bread. But they're at Penn State, who's 11-1 after the win, 8-1 in conference, headed to the playoff. And as you'd imagine, Danny, it's a lopsided game.
Yep.
Maryland did lead 7-3 after the first quarter, but then Penn State put it on them 28-0 in the second quarter. It was a 31-7 game at the half. Ended up in the third quarter, just kind of both teams, you know, going back and forth, nothing doing. Penn State playing with its food a little bit. And eventually, the final score was 44-7. But at the very end of the game, Penn State has its backups in the game, okay? So Maryland had just scored on a interception, on a basically, or I should say it just gotten the ball back on an interception, right? And they throw a pick, and Penn State has the football. And there's about a minute and 5 seconds left, and all their backups are in the game. And they're up at this point 38-7. So you'd think a minute to go, you're taking a knee, you're running out the clock, whatever. They run it for no gain. They run it for a loss of two. On third and 12, they throw an incomplete pass. By the way, they're at the 15-yard line of Maryland. Mm-hmm. The drive started at inside the red zone at the 13. So now it's fourth and 12, 4 seconds to play in the game, at the Maryland 15-yard line, and Penn State drops back and throws a touchdown pass to win 44-7. Your thoughts on that initially?
Unbelievably classless. What a ridiculous and pathetic display that is. And now, what, of course, is going to come out is your usual tough guy Teddies are going, you don't like it, then stop them. Clearly not capable of stopping them. The game is academic. The game is over. Win with class. Lose with grace. That axiom is gone. It's out of sports entirely. And even down at the amateur level, that's less amateur than it was before, as these guys are paid better than most to go play college football, it still should matter. Sportsmanship should matter. And it's absurd that that was the course of events. Once the interception happens, right, the game is over. The game's been over for a long time. Your backups are in. The guys that don't get to play are getting their run. They're on the field. The 110,000 people at Penn State are whooping and hollering. The walk-on gets to do this, that, and the other thing. You let them be on the field and let the game end. They're going for it, and the winning touchdown, I'm sure. The last touchdown is with 2 seconds left on the clock.
Yeah, final play of the game. Fourth and 12.
I mean, come
on. From the 15-yard line.
On. If you want to let the backup kicker kick the field goal because he's never going to get to it, or walk on Willie, do the snap or something like that, fine. You know, you have your Rudy your moment. That I guess that's one thing.
Correct.
But come on, man.
So I thought this was a joke. Okay, I'm with you in lockstep. I'd be curious if anyone disagrees with us, by the way, at 800-636-1067. Or if you agree with us, you could chime in as well, 800-636-1067. But I just thought this was a bad, bad decision by James Franklin. I thought it was classless is a good word, but completely unnecessary and just not in any way what college football should be about in that moment. But this was Mike Locksley after the game, because Locksley right away, as you'd imagine, again, this was the last play of the game. So this happens, and then the teams walk out onto the field to shake hands. Locksley essentially in the handshake with Franklin goes right up to him and is furious. I mean, you could tell he is choice words in his face, not having it, very angry,
yeah,
and letting him know about it, which I did not have any problem with. Locksley was asked after that exchange in his press conference, what he said to James Franklin.
What was the exchange with James in midfield there?
I was asked about his family, Christmas cards, address, all those things. It was bull****, is what it was. I respect the game. I got a lot of respect for James, his program. I think it was bull****.
So he went on to answer the question, even though he initially played the humor card.
Yeah, he was like, joking at first. Didn't get a lot of guffaws in the room because they're waiting for the actual answer, but that was actually pretty fun.
Right. That was a good line.
Yeah.
I liked it. But he eventually said, like, this is pretty ridiculous, mm-hmm, right? It's nonsense. So this was James Franklin, and he's actually had some support with what he had to say.
Of course he has.
Based on his suggestion that college football has changed, that the landscape is not what it once was, that winning 38-7 isn't as good as winning 44-7. But let's hear James Franklin's reasoning and logic on why he felt like not only was it okay to throw up 38-7 with no time left on the clock on the 4th and 12 final play of the game for a touchdown, but why he actually insisted that his team do it.
Yeah, I get it, right? At the end of the game, we throw a touchdown. I get it, but a couple things I will say. My job is to put the threes and fours in the game. But when the threes and fours get to go in the game, they get to play football. Those guys deserve to play football. Your ones are in the game. You were trying to score. We're trying to score. On top of that, you're playing cover zero. If you don't want, play cover two. So I'm good with it. And on top of that, there's also a change in college football. We are trying to play as long as we can, make the playoffs, and be seeded as high as possible. And scoring as many points and a point differential matters. All that matters. And if you don't get that, it's really not my problem. So, W, 1-0, I'm good with it. Anybody that's not, that's their problem.
Good, wow. Tough guy talk there. You're a hypocrite, James Franklin. I hope you hear this. If you're trying to score as many points as possible, your job isn't to put the threes and fours in the game. You hypocrite. You try to score as many points as possible the whole time, but you didn't. You contradicted yourself. But no one will notice that because, yeah, if you don't like it, stop them. You're playing covers. They're trying to stop you because you didn't take a knee, because you didn't just hand it off. The only definition of what football is throwing passes. That's otherwise it doesn't count. It's not actual football. Every one of those kids, rightfully so, was in the game. You hand it off until it's completely 100% over, and you take a knee with a little bit of dignity and class. If you're pretending that your job is to score as many points as possible, I unfortunately think you're right that it goes into this algorithm and the evaluations
of
this nonsensical committee.
But here's what you
cannot
convince me of, Danny, that 38-7 versus 44-7 makes any difference, really, in the committee's eyes. You walloped Maryland one way or the other. You were the bully. They were the little kid who had no chance. 38-7, 44-7. I mean, and I don't know this. Maybe this is the case. Is there an actual statistical algorithm that has to do with point margin, Danny? I don't think so. Otherwise, why would we be arguing about Alabama as a three-loss team versus Miami as a two-loss team if there's just a data sheet that prints out the answer where there's no argument? This is about the committee using its head.
Yeah, and the eye test and stuff. Yeah.
Exactly. So does it really 38-7 or 44-7 on a final throw from a backup to a backup, that makes any difference? I just don't believe that.
Right. And again, it's just a way to cover your butt. You felt like doing it. So and pretend that it's something other than rubbing it in and running the score up on somebody because of this like higher purpose. Again, if you believe that, if you subscribe to it, I disagree, by the way. I think, again, you win with class. You should be teaching people that at all walks of life. I will do it with my 6- and 7-year-olds that I'm coaching in indoor soccer this weekend. If we're fortunate enough to win, we'll do it with class. We're not going to do a dance in somebody's face if they give up a goal. You win with class and you lose with grace. You're supposed to do that. That's what human beings do. It's how we treat each other. Because tomorrow, you're going to get your ass kicked by somebody. And I can't wait for it to happen, by the way. I cannot wait for them to lose. And I hope their backups are slinging it with 2 seconds left to go. And you've got to just pretend that it's fine. If you believe that you have to run up the score no matter what at all costs to qualify for the postseason or do whatever, then you don't put in your backups. You did that because you knew it was the right thing to do. You couldn't go all the way and be the actual adult in the room and lead by example and do what you're supposed to do for an opponent that's clearly downtrodden, that's clearly beaten, that's clearly has no chance against you. You've demonstrated that for 59 minutes or whatever, it's 58 minutes and 48 seconds. They can't compete with you. You're way better than they are. So you just take your win. You've destroyed them. They're already defeated. They're the most defeated they could be. You've outscored them, 38-0 since the first quarter? You're woodshedding this team. And now it's incumbent upon you to let your backups play football. They're on the football field. They're playing. Let them hand it off. Let them have their moment. Let them go to the frat party that night and do a keg stand because Bo, whatever his dumb last name is, got on the football field. What a jackass this dude is.
He also has a history of moments like this, not necessarily final second touchdowns, but calling timeouts at the end of games.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what I find so annoying generally about Penn State, and I happen to root for that program when they play Michigan and Ohio State because I like the idea of somebody new getting in, but it does always seem like they punch down on the teams like Maryland that they can. And then when they play the big dogs, they're not able to win those games. And there's just something annoying about that to me. Like when you can rub it in on Maryland or on Indiana over the years or Purdue or whoever, they have no problem doing that. But then when it's time to go beat Michigan or Ohio State or the real powers in the conference, now it's Oregon, which makes no sense. Like they're squarely in the middle of those two tiers. And it seems like they are just such a tough guy when they get to go up against the teams less than them. And Franklin has kind of long come off that way where they have no problem calling the late timeout and subbing in starters late in games and doing some of those things to prove a point. A lot was made about, too, his history here at Maryland and the fact that he was passed over for the job, and maybe that's part of it, that he's angry about that. I don't really care how we got here. I just thought it was a really bad look for him. And I thought his answer afterwards, while it'll go over really well in his locker room, like the players will love it, and maybe that's all he cares about.
Penn State fans are eating it up like catnip, I'm sure.
I'm sure they are. But for everybody else, and maybe he just doesn't care because it's a familial thing, and sometimes that's what a coach is supposed to do. Like, let me bring my guys together. They'll rally around me. I'll be the bad guy. But I thought he looked like a goofball, suggesting that he doesn't care if someone doesn't like it. Like you said, it's just a tough guy routine. But he's right about this. I mean, there is a change in college football, and margin and quality of win and the amount that you win by, like, those types of things do matter. I just think that you could convince me you might coach differently after halftime when you're up 40-3, not in the final seconds of a game, and try to convince me that 38 versus 44-7 is significant. But I want to take calls on this with Danny next, 800-636-1067. What about his point when he said, my job is to put the threes and the fours in the game, but those kids deserve to play football too? I want to double-click on that, that the quarterback who's been working all year should get to throw a pass, that the receiver who normally doesn't get an opportunity to should get to catch a touchdown. What do you guys think about that? 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. Penn State played Maryland this weekend. It was no contest. The Nittany Lions blew the Terps out of the water, beat them 44-7. They got the ball back up 38-7, and on 4th and 12 from the 15-yard line with 2 seconds left in the game, threw a 12-yard touchdown, 144-7. Mike Locksley, the head coach of Maryland, got into it with James Franklin on the field in the handshake line right after the game. Said that it was BS in his press conference. Franklin was asked about it. This was James Franklin's response to people that were upset about him calling for a pass and a touchdown scored in the final seconds with his team up 38-7.
Yeah, I get it, right? At the end of the game, we throw a touchdown. I get it. But a couple things I will say. My job is to put the threes and fours in the game. But when the threes and fours get to go in the game, they get to play football. Those guys deserve to play football. Your ones are in the game. You were trying to score. We're trying to score. On top of that, you're playing cover zero. If you don't want, play cover two. So I'm good with it. And on top of that, there's also a change in college football. We are trying to play as long as we can, make the playoffs, and be seeded as high as possible. And scoring as many points and a point differential matters. All that matters. And if you don't get that, it's really not my problem. So, W, 1-0, I'm good with it. Anybody that's not, that's their problem.
W, 1-0. So Danny's way more bothered about this than I am. We both think it was the wrong thing to do, to be clear. I think it was a bad look. I wouldn't have done it. I think Franklin's the bad guy in this, so to speak. You're really, I would say, put out by it.
Yeah, of course. Here
is my one caveat. I debate this with buddies of mine who play baseball all the time. And one of my pals that's a big league pitcher and I talk about the unwritten rules of baseball all the time. And he references regularly that the team getting their butt whooped kind of dictates what you're allowed to do the rest of the game. Meaning, when I'm beating you 10-1 in a baseball game, I'm no longer going to keep a guy at first base, let's say, to keep you on at first because the rules dictate nobody's running or whatever. If you're still stealing bases and like moving guy, like laying down bunts and doing all this stuff, like then that's the cue to me that we're allowed to continue to play baseball, right? So you have an obligation as well as the loser, as the team getting worked, to, I don't want to say call off the dogs because it's the opposite, but to kind of wave the white towel a little bit. And you hear in that answer from Franklin, Danny, where he goes, stop running cover zero, like run too deep. His point in that is you're still playing against my backups, essentially, with your ones, as if it's a 7-7 game and you're coming for me. So, like, when I say to my buddy, oh, you can't lay down that bunt to break up the no-hitter or whatever, and he's like, well, actually, the other team's still doing this, so they're still playing it like it's a real game. That's like the that's how teams base how they should act in baseball, based on what the other team is doing. Do they still view this as a baseball game that's competitive? Are we taking the bags? Are we not? And so I think James Franklin's point is you guys were not operating like you had stopped playing football. So if you're not operating that way, neither are we. Now, it's 38-7. He threw a touchdown with 2 seconds left. I'm not going to endorse that. That's a bad bit, and it's a bad look, and I'm out on that. But I do think there's something to what he's saying, and I wonder as a baseball guy if you can speak to that.
Yeah, so I don't. There's zero to what he's saying. Again, he's a complete hypocrite. He's is a giant fraud, and the entire premise is ridiculous. So I understand your point about baseball, but again, if you're up by 10 runs in the ninth inning, I don't care what the other team's doing. They can't match you when it's like a gnat to an elephant, right? When the other team has demonstrated through 59 minutes and change, there's nothing they can do about what you're doing. They cannot stop you. You don't rub it in on people. That is full stop, period, end of story, at all times, never changes. And as long as this earth keeps spinning and we're not taken out like the dinosaurs by space rock of death, please win with class. I don't care what they're doing. That should never enter into it.
And I get that. I totally am with you. But yay or nay, as a baseball person, you understand my point, which is just
right. And the answer is
the loser dictates as much as the winner when we call off the dogs.
That's completely out of bounds to me. So that's a no. So that's okay. A nay. So in other words, if I'm up a ton and another guy tries hard, doesn't give me the green light to, you know, to steal and to, you know, to lay down a drag bunt, pushing my play, you don't try to ramp up your stats at the expense of somebody. Right, you just don't do that. It's classless. You don't rub it in on people. I don't care what they're doing. It should never change what you do. They can't stop you that day. Yeah. So you revel in your win.
I agree that it is classless for sure. Let's go to Ian in Vienna on Grant and Danny here on the Fan to get the calls started. Ian, what do you make of the exchange between Penn State and Maryland, which hasn't won in a long time now?
Yeah, so let me agree and disagree with you. I agree with you on James Franklin. And as a Big Ten alum, I totally agree with the narrative that he punches down. He does all these moves against the Northwesterns, Indianas, and the lesser schools, and does not show up against Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan. I agree with you that his messaging, Danny, was totally inconsistent. You're either trying to win the game 100-0, leave the ones in, play it up, don't be inconsistent. Where I'll disagree with you is Power Four sports, if you will, is as close to professional sports as we have. I have no issue, and this is a philosophical difference about winning and losing with class. Danny, our kids might intersect this weekend playing sports. There's a big difference between our 8-year-old or 9-year-old boys playing sports and Division One guys on scholarship. And I have no issue if they are running it up infinitely, not because of the algorithms that are being run, just because I think it's more disrespectful to stop trying. Because if you're up, say, 50-0 at halftime, is the entire second half you're just going to need the clock? Like, at some point, and obviously I'm exaggerating, but at some point, like, you just play. And, you know, when the Patriots were dominant against Gibbs back in the day and they asked Gibbs, hey, did you have an issue with Brady doing this? He's like, no, they're trying to play the game. There's no issue. And that's how I feel here. Franklin's a dodo, but they're trying to win and score as many points as they can. So that's my verdict.
Thanks, Ian. So to the Gibbs point, he's too classy to actually say, yeah, it's BS. Because he was on the other side of that. When his former top assistant, Joe Bugle, coached in Arizona, he had a backup quarterback throw a pass. Bugle took issue with it and came and got after him, and he regretted that for the rest of his coaching career. So he's too classy to call someone out at a press conference, but I guarantee you he was bothered by that. So, like, where does it stop? These guys are good college players. Well, this is 5A high school in Texas, so let people run up the score. When you say at a certain point, just play football, here's what you do. You put your backups in, you hand it off until there's no possible time where the other team can get the ball back, and then you take a knee. It's super simple.
The line for me is between the NFL and college, which is why this, like, you and I disagreed on the Lions a few weeks ago, if you remember, Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell, and you're like, oh, they're running up the score, which I don't think is a thing in the NFL, and I certainly don't think, you know, that they're doing that, embarrassing people. But college to me is different. I will say those waters are being muddied, though, because now there's so much money involved with the NIL and these quarterbacks that are transferring are getting millions and millions of dollars. What's really the difference? I mean, there's going to be starting quarterbacks in the league making less money than starting quarterbacks in the SEC soon. Eli's in D.C. What's up, Eli? How are you?
What's going on, fellas? This was kind of a tough one. I think it's like perspective versus like perception. I think if this was Washington versus Dallas, we'd be like, yeah, give them another score. So I think, I mean, I'm not suggesting that of you. If you say, hey, man, if you are the coach of the Commanders and you're like, hey, man, we're just going to run it, we're getting out of here. But for me, it's like times have changed. It's like back in the day when people used to line up against each other with muskets. And it's like, well, you can't fire until my guys are ready to go again. It's like, nah, man, we live in a land of more. It's like everyone wants more touchdowns. Obviously, it's going to suck after. This is college. Like he said, a lot of those cats aren't going to get that opportunity. They're just not. This is it for them. This is their Super Bowl. This is their moment for some of those backups. So you get an opportunity to see. For me, I'm going to evaluate my guys. We kicked your butt so good, I can look at my threes against your ones. That's more information for me than not. So, yeah.
True, and I appreciate the call. The only thing I'd say to that is, it's a great phone call. Thank you. We're up against it, so I'm going to keep it moving. But the only thing I would say to that is, forever, the getting the guy in the game meant you got him in the game and he handed it off. You got him into the game, and the quarterback got the play, and he took a couple of snaps and then high-fived his buddies after. Like, there's a difference between that and throwing a ball into the end zone for a touchdown when you're already up 38-7. Don's in Ashburn on Grant and Danny. What's up, Don? How are you?
Hey, what's up, guys? You know, I could argue both sides of it all day long, really, but I think Franklin's message at the end was a little it was kind of all over the place, but you know, you put the guys into play. Maryland's situational awareness needs to understand that their threes and fours are in, and they might go ahead and take that shot because of the rivalry, recruiting. They want to get that those points, whatever. But the other thing I wanted to say was in the first game of the year, UConn, Maryland was up 43-7, and with a little over a minute left, Maryland scored a touchdown to go up 50-7. And so Locksley, you know, he's done something similar. There's not a big difference between a minute and something and the 2 seconds. It's a score that doesn't need to be had to prove a point.
Well, they were running the ball, though. They had run the ball on like six straight plays.
Was it fourth and 12 with 2 seconds left when they scored it?
I think he's gone. No, they were running the ball. It was not fourth down, and there wasn't 2 seconds left. But look, if his point is you were up 43-7, I guess what should they do? Just punt on first down? I mean, you kind of have to run the ball, and at that point, I mean, UConn wasn't able to tackle them.
Yeah, so I actually wasn't aware of that for the start of the year. So what I would tell Mike Locksley is you should probably take a knee right there. Again, when you're up 43-7, you've already done the backups are in, you're running the football, you're doing the right thing, but now let's not punch it in to make it 50-7. Let's take a knee and shake hands with some dignity.
But, I mean, it's second down. Are they supposed to kneel?
Well, I'm going back and looking at it now. It looks like a buck 17 left.
Second and goal
left
on the 9.
Oh, so if there's enough time, you know, like you have how the play clock works, if you can do something without, if you can take a knee and have the clock run out, then you do that. But if there wasn't enough time left, then yeah, you run running plays.
I see, because you're saying there was a minute 17 to go. Yeah, they absolutely probably could have and should have taken a knee. And Sports Karma will get you. 800-636-1067. You want to hop in on Grant and Danny. We'll also try to squeeze in a double play before the top of the hour. We got those Caps tickets for you right at 4 o'clock today on The Fan. Back with you on Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. We are, as always, brought to you by our friends, the law firm Kondori and Murad. But each day at this time, we give you a double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Let's get to it. Our double play is driven by our local Washington area Honda dealer. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
GP had my weekly hoops game last night. One game out of the three, the middle game, I was outstanding. Knocked down four threes and hit a layup when somebody came out and challenged a shot and went right by him and scored and helped the team win. The other two games, I was dreadful. I don't know what's going on. The inconsistency is what's so frustrating. I was feeling it. I was 4-for-4 from three-point range in that second game. And then the third game, I couldn't make a shot. That includes a couple bunnies, a couple layups, a couple pull-ups. Open looks from three would rattle around and not go down. I don't know what's going on, man, but I haven't posted my stats yet at Funny Danny. I will do that later on today. I have to count up all the different shots. But game two was outstanding. The others were pretty dreadful. And to add insult to injury, the guy that I was guarding, Scott, in game three, Scott got hot. So now all of a sudden, my plus minus goes in the toilet. I was doing great, right? Like my team was plus, like we were winning or we're doing well enough. And then in game number three, I can't guard him. I can't stop anybody, and I can't buy a bucket. I think I was a minus 11 or whatever, just position straight up battle. So a little bit of a disaster. The mixed bag is frustrating. I was in a pissed off mood when I got home last night.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah, it's not your fault.
I'm sorry. I apologize to you that it didn't go better. We need to get a sponsor for Danny's hoops updates, right? Like a weekly Grant and Danny, here's how Danny balled last night kind of deal. Who would be a good sponsor?
The pick update, right? Like maybe the Wizards will sponsor because it's like high-level basketball, you know?
I was going to say the Washington Wizards could sponsor that. That would make a lot of sense. Be like, let's crowbar our way into the show beyond just the Beltway Blitz. 2-80, I think, is what they're on pace for.
Yeah, a couple jokes about tanking, an O for November type shtick, Cooper flag shtick.
Time for your boys. Double play. Danny, American Airlines is trying a new method to embarrass anyone who tries to board before their group number with a loud alarm.
Yes.
This is via Barstool Sports. I've always wondered about this. So, like, if you're group four and you go up during group three, my guess is you just get to get on and nothing really happens. Is that your understanding as well?
No, it depends. It depends. I mean, this is very much like a Paulson-style move. Whether you would do this or not, I'm not casting any aspersions here. But when the rest of us are going, wait, we better follow the rules, you're going, we're all going to the same place. Let me just go if I want to go. You know what I mean?
No, like, I do wait for my, I mean, I'm assigned a group I'm going to go with.
Right. And again, I wasn't accusing of anything, but I think this is a Paulson-style move where, like, just admit this is meaningless. We're all going on the plane. Let me just get on the plane, pipe down, and I just sort of pass on through. I think half the time, someone will look at it and go, whatever, dude. Next person, I gotta, you know, I want to go to Panera. The other half will go, it's not your group, man. Step to the side.
But what I'm asking is, does anything, so now this loud alarm is going to change the game, but would anything have identified you as not in the correct group prior to that?
Other than the quick examination? Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think they're really looking at the group, honestly. They don't care at the gate. They're trying to make sure you're getting on the right. Like they scan your ticket and it's green and it says go if you're on the correct plane in the correct gate. I don't think anybody really cares if you're in the right group. The group is just for coordination, for organization, to try to wrangle cats, basically to herd cattle. Yeah. And because, you know, they want the people that pay early on, like, if you're platinum, come on up. If you're diamond,
that's really what it is.
If you're diamond plus plus,
it's the company point of emphasis to reward the behavior that they want. Right? They want you to be incentivized to join the American Airlines Club, to get Group One, to get the platinum status, to get the preferred, blah 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 blah. That's what they like. It's the same way that a football team, frankly, should try to go. Hey, you're a season ticket holder. You get this special thing other than the regular peon that just went to use the Game Time app to grab something. Like, no. We want you to feel preferred and special. That's what they're doing. So there's an emphasis there. So some of the folks down there actually are looking at the deal and going, no, you're group D, you're not group A, stand to the side, idiot.
So I actually am way for this, for the record, because I hate people who cut in lines. I hate when people butt in line and are just trying to get one over on everyone else. So I am first team. Let's have the loudest siren possible just to embarrass you. That's really what should be happening, is that you should be mortified, that everyone should look at you. I wish they'd come up and ring the shame bell right in your face.
Oh, yeah.
That everyone got to, like, throw eggs and carrots and apples at you or something. The only thing they should also do is, if you keep creeping up, like, if you're not in the right group, but you're standing in the way of the people who are in the right group, like, maybe we could tase those people or something like that.
What I, first of all, that's, I like that you ramped it up to 11, just to see if I was paying attention. I like that. I was focused on you. Here's what
you
I would do.
Actually, but that's fine.
No, I mean, seriously, I was into it. Here's what I would do, and I'm completely serious. Again, no one will ever go with my recommendations. No one will ever do the things that I would do. But here's what I would do. If you try to board in the wrong group, and I know, now this is the judgment call. This is the hard part. It's not just an innocent mistake. Like, if you thought it was group five, and it's actually group four, and you're up there, and you go, oh, I'm so sorry. If you try to creep, you get on last. Like, you're standing to the side, and you have to watch everybody go, and then I make several announcements. Attention, Grant Paulson, your flight is leaving in a couple minutes. This is the last boarding call. This is the last boarding call. Final boarding call for this flight to wherever. Then you can get on. And there's no cabin room. There's no the room for your bag. You probably have to do the gate check bit. I make you suffer if you try to cheat the system. That's what I would do.
Yeah, I think we got to find a way to just send some lessons to the people that are trying to get one over on everybody else. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Next, we're giving away Caps tickets as soon as we return. We got a pair of them. If you want those Caps tickets, you'd better be listening. And your Beltway Blitz coming up on the Fan.